Several months ago, I received a message that Father Jeff had called inviting me to come to St. Bernadette to share in this Sunday where we all say yes, but to perhaps reflect upon the yeses that have accumulated to make St. Bernadette a reality. I don't think it's a coincidence that this is the anniversary of the founding of the parish, not today, but April 8th, Monday, 14 years, no, 16 years since the parish was established, joining together the communities of Mother of Good Counsel and Transfiguration of Our Lord. He invited me to reflect upon the challenge of saying yes to the venture of not just creating a new parish, but to create it out of two prosperous parishes, Mother of Good Counsel and Transfiguration of the Lord. You know, from about 2006 onward, there was a diocesan process and project to try to look at some strategic initiatives to deal with a lot of churches that had declined in membership, that had perhaps reached a point where they could not financially support themselves. But the question wasn't, how do we deal with financial problems or even population problems, but what is the best way for the Archdiocese of Louisville to be present and to proclaim the gospel and to witness to the gospel in the area of the Archdiocese? Now, naturally, the first attention went to those parishes that were distressed, if you will. Frankly, I was at Mother of Good Counsel already. We thought we were going to be spared. We thought we were safe. But we didn't listen to the question. What is the best way to be present as church in this area assigned to us? Not, do we have enough money in the bank to pay the bills next month? Or not, are the church pews relatively full? What's the best way? And I happened to be at a meeting where someone had a map of all the churches in Jefferson County. And they pointed out that Mother of Good Counsel, now you get over to the west a little bit and find Epiphany, but for this northeast corner of Jefferson County, there was a vast area where there was no Catholic church because there were virtually no people. Up until that time, this was still largely farmland. And yet it was growing rapidly. And I remember swallowing hard and thought, uh-oh, they've got their eye on something. And not only did we see this vast area of Jefferson County, but you looked over into Oldham County and realized that likewise there was a vast area of the, that would be the southwest side of Oldham County. And I came home and looked at that map again, and I put my finger in the middle of that area, and I thought, that makes a lot of sense. Thus, I bought into the possibility, but my personal yes was but a piece of a puzzle of many commitments from the people to discern the will of God. Now, many of you were around. Most of you were not thrilled. Is that safe to say? Understandably. In that year, between the time we began to talk about this and bring St. Bernadette to fruition, we celebrated the 50th Jubilee of Mother of Good Counsel Parish and the 25th Jubilee of Transfiguration of Our Lord. They were parishes that were whole and were certainly surviving. But again, the question wasn't about survival. The question about what's the best way for the Catholic Church to be present. Well, to make a long story, the determination was achieved that those two parishes might achieve their mission best by saying yes to joining. There wasn't a vote. That's not the way we do things in the church, except when they choose a new pope. But then again, you and I don't get to vote. I recall when I was named a bishop, they used the term, Father Medley has been elected bishop. Again, you didn't get to vote. I didn't get to vote. The Pope gets to vote on a lot of things. I'm not an historian, but I like history. And I especially like the history of the Catholic Church on the Kentucky frontier. As Catholics began to come in and create settlements starting in 1785, bands of Catholic pioneers began to come from Maryland, the only one of the 13 colonies where it was legal to be a Roman Catholic. But even there, there were beginning to be signs that the Catholics who were a minority might not be welcome forever. So people for whom the faith was important came west, came over the Appalachian Mountains, and began to settle in the area of Nelson County and Marion County. I knew once we were moving along this process that the Diocese of Bardstown was created on April 8, 1808, along with the Diocese of Boston, New York, and Philadelphia. Now, I've always said they really didn't need dioceses in Boston and New York and Philadelphia. They just threw those in because they needed one in Bardstown. They needed one in Kentucky. So all of the complexities of merging and created parishes, I laid claim to one yes in that I proposed the date that it would be official, that the bicentennial date of the Catholic Church of Kentucky would be the date that our parish was established. And I might note, St. Peter the Apostle Parish out on the Dixie Highway corridor was also established that day, merging some parishes together. But a side story here as well, and it has to do with saying yes. The first bishop of Bardstown was Benedict Joseph Flaget. He was a French Sulpician, and he had done missionary work in America, primarily in Indiana. There were no resident priests to speak of in all that vast territory at the time. And so he was back in Paris, and he got word that the Holy Father had appointed him to be the Bishop of Bardstown. He didn't want to do it. Now, I don't think it had anything to do with coming to America again, nothing about whether or not Kentucky was good or not. He didn't want to be a bishop. I understand that better now than ever. So upon receiving the appointment, he politely declined. That didn't go over well. His declining was not accepted. In fact, he continued to protest for 3 years, traveling to Rome to meet personally with the Pope, and the Pope said, "You got to go." Then he went to his religious superior, and he said, "You got to get me out of this." And the religious superior reminded him that at his ordination, he had promised obedience to the church. And he said, "Get on a boat and go." And so he got here in 1811. Now, as much as I've read of the history, I don't know what they did in terms of organization from 1808 till 1811. But once the reluctant Bishop Flaget arrived, he was reluctant no more. He took charge. So back to the 21st century. St. Bernadette was created, but in 2008, we continued to worship on Westport Road and in Goshen because we had no place to gather. Parallel to the creation of our parish was the creation of the new St. Mary Academy, joining together Mother of Good Counsel School and Immaculate Conception School out in LaGrange. I recall that probably in 2007, once we kind of saw that all this was going to happen, driving through various parts of this part of the county and Oldham County, standing on this property, probably standing pretty near this site, and they were proposing however many acres this is, and you couldn't see another building from here. I think the very first structures of Norton Commons, but you know, you needed binoculars to see them from here. This was all wide open. So, open fields, fertile fields. Construction got underway for the school and the parish office next door. The plan was to get the school open and then to use the gymnasium as our temporary church. So in the summer of 2009, moving vans came and for 4 days went back and forth, moving all the goods from Mother of God Council School and Immaculate Conception School to this site in order to open the school in August of that year. In September, school had gotten underway, so then the parish office building was open and we moved again, the office things from Goshen and from Westport Road. And most significantly, we began every Saturday afternoon transforming a gym into a sanctuary. And I think Mass was at 5 o'clock at that time. We weren't allowed in the gym until 4:15, which meant we had to set up 500 chairs and create a stage and pull the altar out. And this was September of 2009. And I did not know at the time, but I was only going to be here a few more months. But that made me a nervous wreck. I thought, suppose, you know, we had teams that came to set it all up. But I thought, suppose they don't show up some Saturday. I can't set up 500 chairs by myself. But it was successful. Also, from September to November of that year, we organized a capital campaign to begin to raise the money to build the church. We had some financing for the school from banks, but in order to break ground for a church, we had to have some cash on hand. So, as happens when a parish has a capital campaign, the pastor becomes the number one beggar. And so I was knocking on a lot of doors, talking on the phone, and from, you know, just day, every day of the week, it seemed, from September to November. I recall Thanksgiving Day of 2009. We had a great mass in the gymnasium, and then I went to spend the day with my family. As I was driving back to Louisville and thinking of all that had happened in just the last 4 or 5 months, moving toward finding a home for St. Bernadette Church and St. Mary Academy, I decided, okay, we're going to kind of be on a level field for a while. It's going to be a year more before we actually break ground for the church. I'm going to coast a while. I'd do all the things that needed to be done, but the strenuousness of moving, the strenuousness of asking money, thought, I can just let all that go for now. What I didn't know, what I later put together, was that on that Thursday, that Thanksgiving Day, you know, Thanksgiving Day isn't a holiday in Italy. So the Dicastery for Bishops was meeting that day to make a recommendation to Pope Benedict as to who might be the next bishop of Owensboro. Now, there may be priests who have become bishops who had some inkling that that was going to happen in their life. I wasn't one of them. So that's a story. I remember being in the office on December 3rd, one week, the Thursday after that Thursday, and I got a call. And the caller said, "I'm Archbishop Sambi. I'm Pope Benedict's representative of the United States." And I thought, well, I've heard of you. I don't know why you're calling me, but I've heard of you. I know who you are. And then he began to tell a story about visiting the Holy Land and walking along the Sea of Galilee, walking along the very place that is believed to be the place where Jesus came and found Simon and Andrew, James and John, cleaning their fishing nets after a long day. And Jesus told them that they should abandon their nets and follow him. Okay, this is a nice story. He said, "That's why I'm calling you." Okay. He said, "Pope Benedict wants you to be the next bishop of Owensboro. Do you accept?" And I was speechless. And after a matter of seconds, he said, "I ask you, do you accept?" I said, "Oh, okay." And this was my answer. This has to do with the yes. When a priest is ordained, he folds his hands, and the bishop puts his hands over the candidates and says, "Do you promise obedience to me and my successors?" Now, as I prepare, a priest makes three promises at ordination. He promises to be a man of prayer, to pray the divine office. He promises to live celibately, and he promises to be obedient. Prayer, not that I'm a perfect prayer, but I had a lot of practice, had that down. Celibacy, I'd given a lot of thought to, and finally determined that in my life, I could embrace that and accept that. My greatest anxiety was obedience. You know, I knew what prayer was about. I knew what celibacy was about, but obedience is so open-ended. Saying yes is open-ended. But I, as my hands were folded, and Archbishop Kelly, Thomas Kelly, folded his hands over mine and asked me if I promised obedience, I did. And that's what I answered Archbishop Sambi. I said, "Archbishop, as far as I'm concerned, I answered this question in 1982 when I was ordained a priest and said yes. When I said yes, I said I'll do whatever the church asked me to do." I certainly didn't think it would be that. So that's how my yes came to be. Well, that also I recall him saying in the same conversation, "Okay, when are we going to announce this?" And I said, "Wait a minute. 3 minutes ago, I didn't know we were going to talk about this, and now you're asking me when we can announce it." So I said, "I'm going to have to get back to you on that. I got to think about this for a while." Obedience, as I contemplated that in the hours later, is an act of freedom. Obedience, the very word obedience, comes from the Latin obedere, which means to listen. It's interesting. Listen. So when one says they will be obedient, one agrees to listen. But as a bishop who has had occasion to ordain other men, the responsibility of listening goes both ways. And that's reassuring. I've always accepted any assignments that I was asked to take. In the Archdiocese of Louisville in my time, when personnel appointments were being contemplated, there was often a list sent out. These places will be having new pastors or associate pastors. If you'd like to write a letter and state some preference, you may. I never got my first choice. Don't be offended. There's a catch there. When the list came out, Father John Judy had not yet decided that he was going to move away. So Mother of Good Counsel was not on the list. So don't be offended by that. But I will say this. Every single, and I was never disappointed, but I never had an assignment that after a very short while in a new parish, I didn't realize, I'm glad I said I'd be obedient, because if I'd gotten what I asked for, life might not be this good. Priests and bishops are not the only ones who make promises of obedience. Every one of you here who is married or has ever been married has promises to love, honor, and obey. Now, people in the 21st century get a little anxious about anybody saying, I'll obey another person. But think again to the root, to listen, to discern, to decide together. As members of the church, St. Bernadette parishioners had to listen and discern. They had to give up not bad things at all, but they nonetheless had to trust that God was willing to offer something better. This business of saying yes is not always perfect, and we are asked to reset time and again. And yes, in your own lives, perhaps, or people you know, we know people that have been burned when they said yes. Things didn't turn out well. I want to look to the future. As you continue to say yes, you continue to, your name's up here on this board, your volunteerism makes possible the good works of this church. Your volunteerism makes possible that last Saturday night there were people received into the church here because people saw something in you that encouraged them, that deepened their faith. I always look to anniversaries as a time to look forward. Yes, you can remember the good times. I like to think I've got enough years chalked off now that I can't expect to be at many more jubilees that this parish might celebrate. But I think of the young people and the children of this parish who may well be here in 25 years. Some of you will as well. You'll just look a little bit different. 50 years from now. Now, I'm going to kind of go out on a limb. There are a few, but there aren't many of you here that'll make it 50 more years and be here for that jubilee. But there are people in this church that will. There are people who are members of this church now, probably students over in this school, who may be here on the day that this church celebrates in 2108 the 100th jubilee of this parish. Because I said yes, you said yes, and God blesses us. Yes, thanks be to God.